Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
With another episode of Believe in Kentucky, AG Aaron Gershon, and the Cat's Paw. My name is Vinny Hardy. Jake Witt is not with us this evening, but probably back with us next week. He's out of town with some family and doing that kind of thing. So we'll hold it down in his stead. AG, man, how are we doing today?
Can't complain, man. Good to be out of the tornado that hit here yesterday. Hope everyone's all right. I know. Really, the whole state, for the most part, had some sort of run-in or something going on. So that was fun, driving to football practice in the middle of that yesterday. But other than that, things are pretty good around here.
Yeah, glad it's calmed down, because I was not in Kentucky, but saw the clip, saw the video. And
oh, that poor girl, the student who got taken by the wind. Oh, my God. Yeah, I actually – on my drive over to Kroger Field, I got hit by a recycling bin. And the car, not me. No damage, not even a scratch. So I guess credit to my car for being a tank on that. But, I've driven through storms. I've seen storms. But nor'easters, being up from up north, spending a lot of time in Florida, some heavy rain stuff, thunderstorms. But that was a new one.
Yes, I'm glad. Glad that's moved on through, and hope everybody is okay for sure. Because yeah, that was some rough stuff coming through, like you said, the whole state basically.
Yeah, yesterday. Absolutely.
Yeah. So moving on today, we got basketball, got baseball, got spring practice, all bounce around all those topics. I know you were over there at the facility for football, and like you mentioned before we started, we had a departure from the basketball side with a dude.
Yeah.
Entering the portal, he could end up back at UK, but that came pretty quick too. Season ended and then boom, he's physical. He's the toughest dude on the team, arguably, and you need to get more physical. And he's in the portal.
He's everything Calipari described and what they need. Right, they need to get older. He would have been a junior. They need to get more physical. He's already physical, probably even has room to grow in that area. And you know, he goes portaling. I had heard this one had been brewing, though. I couldn't tell you exact reasoning, but I had heard for whether or not that this was probably the way it was going to go, where he was going to kind of leave all doors open after the season, where, you know, if he can sneak into that first round in the draft, because this is, and we'll probably be saying this a lot for the next month or however long we're dealing with these NBA decisions, this is not a deep draft class by any means. There are talks of it being maybe the weakest ever. I don't know if I buy that, just because I feel like we've heard weakest and strongest class ever, both in football, baseball, all the drafts. We hear that thrown around a lot. But, you know, when, not trying to pick on a guy, but Zach Edey, where he is not your prototypical NBA big where he's going to shoot, is like sneaking into the lottery in some mocks. It's like, okay, like this drafting, even Reed, as good as he is, man, like he's small. He, you know, makes some boneheaded plays, and he's probably a consensus top 10 guy. Like, this draft is just not very deep. Some of the guys who were, you know, highly thought of going into the year as one and dones didn't pan out. You know, the overseas market isn't great. So Adu Thiarow may try to capitalize on that and get himself into the late first or early second round, just with that physicality and that body. More likely than not, he ends up back in college, but it's going to be a bidding war. It's going to be a promised role type of thing. And I'm not sure Kentucky is going to want to hop back in that. I'm sure they'll want him back. They'll welcome him back if they can get him. But I would lean on probably wanting to plan on not having Adu Thiarow next year. You know, maybe I'll be wrong on that. I'd be happy to be wrong, because I think he'd be great to have back. But I think that's probably where that thing's going. I saw that Jeff Borzillo of ESPN put out the massive list of schools lined up already there. Arizona on there. You know, not surprisingly, Pittsburgh, Duquesne, some Pitt area schools, Indiana. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a crowded field for sure.
Going back to Reed, are you taller than Reed? Are y'all right there?
It's close. You... Yeah, I think I have him. Really? I'm like 6'3" and a half. It's pretty damn close. I think I might have him.
Yeah, I was wondering about it. So, yeah. You know, that's especially at the NBA level. That's pretty tall walking down the street. But
yeah,
the smallest dude on the court on a lot of teams. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's what makes it tougher to do, and we'll see what happens. Again, I could be wrong, but there's a long list I have in front of me now. Miami, they are an NIL, big-time NIL school. They get their guys paid. Texas A&M, the same thing, and they love players like Adu Thiarow.
Buzz
would do wonders with that kid. So we'll see. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, the meeting that was and wasn't, you know, Cal and Mitch with Keith Farmer changes. Everything sounds the same. Everything still looks the same.
what else is there to say? I'll say, I guess if we want to give credit, they're showing up on that list, like, for guys. They're reaching out to more guys this year, it feels, at least. I think they're up to 7. 2 already are committed, with Michi Johnson and the guard from UTSA. But they're on more of those lists, so maybe that's a good sign. Maybe it means nothing. I don't know. I obviously put out there about the kid from Virginia Tech on Monday that I got a hit on that one. That they reached out to him. So they're making some, at least, calls in the portal, maybe more so than they did this time last year, but they're still waiting on these NBA decisions, which, unless they set a hard deadline, we may not know anything till May 31st for sure. And then you're waiting, you kind of assume, I would say, from what I understand, my educated guesses would be that Aaron Bradshaw enters the portal, Uganda Onyenso enters the portal, Jordan Burks comes back, Big Z, I think, is leaning toward coming back right now from everything I've gathered, even what I heard just after the Oakland game in Pittsburgh. You know, he was the one guy who said, I'd love to come back, when asked the question. So I think I'd kind of go 60-40 in that direction with him coming back, and then – DJ Wagner's a true 50-50. Justin Edwards is probably a 70-30 going, but he's going to have his name in that ring and probably not make a final decision until May 31st. I'd say Rob is the lock. He's gone. Reed, I'd still put it 90% gone. So you're working with the six freshmen coming in, probably Big Z, Jordan Burks, that's eight, right? Then Joey Hart still has a scholarship, so that's nine guys. Then it becomes a numbers game. How many can you take from the portal? How many are going to be willing to come and feel good about a role here? So Cal, they've got a lot to figure out. And then, you know, I'm sure we'll get into this in a second. The change part, when they decided they weren't going to change the head coach, many people assumed the coaching staff. And you would think that probably you'd want to have that by now because some of those coaches are recruiting. You want them to start recruiting for you. Whatever, get continuity with whatever, returning talent, for all the above, that should have happened by now. We still have the same staff in place, and you know, if what Mac Jones is reporting is true, we're running it back, which seems insane to me.
Yeah, that's, I'm in the show me camp, but you got to show me that.
Yeah,
not very.
Yeah, the words at this point, look. John Calipari says all the right things, I guess you could say, but he's said it for four straight years now. So now you're not going to believe it until you have the hard evidence of change. That's funny.
College sports, because that's Brad Harvey. He was at the Women's Press Center. Yeah. Had him on Cats Talk Wednesday podcast last week. So appreciate him dropping the comment. And older, I mean, you what? Trey and Antonio were what, 24? Both of those guys were they? So you had some age. I mean, do you need more? Yep. I don't know, but you just gotta figure out how to get it right. You've had, you know, Oscar was there. He's older with Antonio. You've had age before. You've had all the different variations and mixtures and still slumping in March when it's time to be peaking. It is, you know, you can have witty. Yeah. I mean, yeah, with all freshmen, is it hard? Yes, that was he set the trend in 2012 and all that with Cousins and all that. But now, and you still had some age on those teams, you know, Darius Miller and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
it's changed now. It's just changed. The game has changed. There's two factors. One's going to end soon, and that's COVID, right? This will be this is finally going to be the last year those guys phase out, where you have the 2020-21 kids who got the free year. But the game is going to stay older because of NIL. The guys who are fringe draft picks are going to stay now because, one, they can make money, maybe even similar money in some cases to what they would make in the G League. And the college game is just that's how these teams win. And the coaches are going to recruit those guys back harder than ever. So I just think this game is going to keep getting older. I don't think John Calipari is oblivious to that. He says it, but you got to go do it. And you're bringing in six freshmen, and John Calipari likes to play those guys, and you have relationships where I don't honestly have the list in front of me of the guys who are going to be are with Clutch, but it does feel like, and I'm not saying they should disassociate with Clutch because there are so many good players that come out of there and you need to get the dudes, but he seems to start those kids like Justin Edwards, whether or not, you know, he was proved right at the end of the year or not, he rode that kid. From day one, DJ Wagner, even when he was injured and clearly not the same guy on either side of the ball, he rode that kid. So I don't know which guys in this class are Clutch off the top of my head. I think Carter Knox is for sure, if I have it correct. Again, I don't want to put that out there and be wrong, but I'm pretty sure on that. So it's he's in a really tough spot with this roster building. And if it comes down to, I think the number game would probably be eight guys with the six freshmen and guys I think are going to come back, maybe nine if you get DJ. It's going to be really hard to convince some of these kids in the portal that they're going to have a real role to come here and play. And that's what those kids are listening and trying to have.
Yeah. College Sportscast, the truth is our culture is not working here. We're all about individuals and decisions / endorsements. The change needs to be team, family, culture, built on players.
And it's harder than ever to do that. That's just – and look, John Calipari's built this thing to be player first. And what he means by that is he's trying to get these players, like he said, after the game against Oakland. That was his real-time, I think, raw reaction, which I still think, even though he said some different things in the coming days, still needs to be addressed. Is what he said is, I don't think I'll ever going away from the freshman. I don't even know if I'll need the portal. He said that was his raw reaction after the Oakland game. I still think that carries some weight, whether he believes that or not. And his actions so far speak it, because you're going on with six freshmen. And I think outside of Quaitance, because he's a two-year guy. Hopefully you can keep him. He's definitely going to have to play 2 years of college, I think. I don't know if there's even – I know the G League Ignite thing is going away, whatever. So he's a two-year guy. As long as you keep him from hitting the portal, you'll have him for 2 years. I don't think Travis Perry is going to be a one-and-done, but the other guys in that class all probably are viewing themselves as one-and-dones. So you're still kind of going down that rabbit hole. And the more freshmen you got, the less spots there are for these portal kids. And look, Antonio Reeves was trying and would have left if he could because of this freshman thing, because he knew luckily he thought he wouldn't get the touches properly needed. Other kids are going to have those same fears. So they just got to figure something out, and they got to start acting pretty quickly here, because some names are starting to leave the portal with commitments and cutting down lists that Kentucky already aren't on. And, you know, there's still some names that are going in it, but they got to start hitting on those guys. The faster you can reach out to them, the better.
Yeah, it's just so. I mean, if you're tying your wagon to the freshmen, first of all, they got to be good enough to hold their own with the grown men,
right?
The older guys, and like you said, they're going to view themselves as one and done. You can't drop down and get a two-year freshman that, okay, I know it, because
Jordan Burks your wagon to play.
Right. Yeah. So you paint yourself into a corner, you know.
You can't. I don't think, like, Jordan Burks, if he stays in this program and gets better, then it's a long-term win, and that was fine for last year's team, but like, they can't take a guy like that this year. They don't have the room for a guy like that this year. They need to go get in my perfect scenario, assuming they don't get Reed Shepherd back, assuming DJ is back or not, I think they need to get a established defensive presence big, like a Clifford Amore from Rutgers. If they, you know, I know they've reached out, they're in on that. We'll see if that comes to fruition or not. Just a guy like that. I think they need to get a tweener, like the kid from Belmont that they just reached out to today, the 6'7" body, 46% shooter, play some good defense. I think they need that type of guy. Trey Townsend from Oakland's out there. He fits that mold. Just saying. I still think they need a scoring guard like that can go get his, like a Janelle Davis from FAU. So I that would be my perfect case scenario on how you attack the portal, those three type of guys. But I just don't know if the numbers are going to be there, man.
Yeah. College Sportscast, appreciate the comments. We have to build our culture in the older game. That means
We have to
where players come back. Yeah,
it's not even guys who come back though. It's also you're gonna have to every year. You're gonna have to use this portal now, because that we see it on the football side.
Exactly. It's they're in the same position as the football team, trying to get a non-portal quarterback. You're trying to get a freshman quarterback that you develop. Yep. And we've seen how difficult that is. You have to keep using the portal as a stopgap, and maybe Cutter Bowley can be that guy, and then you can have Stone Saunders, and you can
– they have two quarterbacks coming in next year.
Now they're in basketball. They're trying to – if you're trying to wean yourself away and get older – it's the same kind of thing, and it takes
– you got to supplement your roster. I know no one wants to give him credit in Lexington, but look at what Rick Barnes did, right, to finally get to that Elite Eight. He went and got the guy that's been the missing piece in Dalton Knecht. He got his three-level score that is going to be your go-to guy. That is what had been setting them back for his entire tenure there. And they got that guy, and he nearly got them to the Final Four. Kentucky needs to go out and get those veterans that'll push them across the hump. And now, and yes, you can say they've tried that and it's failed. But they also, like, Oscar, they got, obviously got the player of the year. They didn't know that when they got him. It ended up, I think, going a lot better than anyone could have ever imagined with Oscar. They never went out and got those guys who, on paper, you know what you're getting. Like Kellen Grady, we knew he was a shooter. He was at Davidson. We didn't know exactly what he was going to be. Sevier Wheeler was an awful fit. I mean, he did some really good things his first year here. He was not a fit for what they wanted to do offensively. Jacob Toppin was solid, but they took him after he barely played as a freshman at Rhode Island. They didn't get – they haven't – the one thing they haven't done with the portal is get an established beast. Actually, they have. It was a while ago, but it was Reed Travis. That is the last time they went out and got a guy where he came in and you knew what you were going to get every night, because that guy was, what, a Pac-12 player of the year or Pac-12 first team guy? Where that's why I'm talking, like, you need to strike big on this portal. You need to get the Janelle Davises of the world, the Trey Townsends, the Clifford Amores. You need to get those guys where you know what they're going to bring you as soon as they walk in the building, where I think their portal strategy has either been non-existent. Like last year, they would not have touched the portal if it weren't for Bob Huggins screwing up. And yeah. Or it's just been taking the wrong type of guys. And until they find a way to strike that balance, you know, I'm not going to – I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, for a few spots, you can't come to portal year after year to keep a one-year-old kid. Yeah, you can't – don't do it just to do it.
You can't do it just to do it, but every year, if you need to take a fifth year every year, that's fine too, though. I mean, they did it. Look, they did it with 2 years in a row with Travis and Sestina, and both of those guys popped. So I think every year you can take a different fifth year and you can supplement your roster with different last year seniors. Would it be nice to get a 2 year transfer? Would it be nice to have a multiple Jordan Burkses? Yeah, but you just gotta, you have to adapt, man. You have to adapt.
You gotta get your,
like, Dalton Connect.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Yeah. Is anyone going to complain in Knoxville next year that Dalton Knecht was only there for – they picked – oh, we took a one-year guy, and it was Dalton Knecht. How did – why did we take him? Is anyone in Knoxville ever going to – no, his name's going to be up there retired probably. Like, no one's going to complain about that. And, you know, he's just the one that's coming to the top of my mind. But there are other fifth-year transfers who have been – Jack Golke in Oakland, I don't think they're going to cry when he's not on the team next year. You know, there's countless of those examples where – fifth year's changed a lot of things for teams. And that's why I think Kentucky's done a night, like their list of guys they've reached out to, I think for the most part is they're on the right track. But they actually have to go one, sign those kids, not just reach out. And two, they need to, I think, add multiple of them.
And when it comes to Tennessee, I mean, if Cal was giving a speech to Tennessee right now, I guess he'd say, you know, Final Fours ain't for everybody.
Yeah, they still fell short. They did.
I mean, and honestly, at the beginning, you know, they're up 11. They had them on.
Oh, I thought they were going to run them off the court.
Yeah, and for a brief flash, Josiah Jordan James looked like the player that he was supposed to be four or 5 years ago. He scored 8-9 quick points, and then he faded away. He disappeared.
Yeah, their offense went away late in the first
Knecht
half.
Knecht was out there by himself, and you know nobody really helped him carry the load, and that was a ball game. So
yep, and that's their next step, right? Is I think they learned this year that you need two guys who can make you shots. I think that's always been the type of teams that scare you the most is when you have two impact guards. Like that's why Florida I thought was going to make a deep run. Obviously their defense just didn't allow them to. I thought Kentucky. I didn't think they'd make the deepest run just because of the inconsistency, but I did think the age, whatever, but I did think having guys, three guards that can go score, you know, they were constructed with the right idea. I think Mississippi State, if you give Josh Hubbard a guy to work with back there, like they're going to cook some teams. So I think that's the next step for Tennessee. But yeah, you're right. Knecht was all on his own near the end of the game. No one else could get a consistent rhythm.
Absolutely.
And Vescovy just wasn't himself the last half of the year. I don't know if it was that. I know he had the flu, so I'm not going to kill him for the bad game he had against Purdue, but
their fans been killing him all year.
He had a weird year.
He was just passive and out there passing up shots and didn't want the ball and not aggressive. Didn't work out
for him this year.
We are streaming, as always, on Twitter or X, for those that call it X, Facebook, YouTube. Follow, subscribe on all those platforms. Audio, of course, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can subscribe there as well. You also heard us talk about the Autograph app. As we mentioned before, it's off-season UK content there now, but you can download the app and get rewarded for listening to this show. The team at Autograph, which is co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this podcast. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to all your favorite Kentucky content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it for free today using referral code Believe Kentucky, BLEAV Kentucky. The link and the code are also in our podcast description. So still check out the app. Still articles and every episode of our podcast shows up in the podcast feed where you can listen to it there in the app. Earn your points. Get yourself in line for some tickets and rewards. Everything they're doing at the Autograph app. We also got merch too. You can go to believe.com/shop. Go to the site. We got Cat Daddy's t-shirt available in blue, white, or gray. So get yourself a Cat Daddy shirt for yourself or somebody, or yourself and somebody, however you want to do. And we definitely appreciate that as well. If you want to advertise on the show, just reach out to us. We gladly promote your business or product here on this podcast. So we got UConn in there, excuse me, your home state, men's and women's, with a chance to do the double again. NC State got their men and women's team in there.
That one's cool, too.
Both of them. with surprise runs, you know, kind of the shock.
Especially the men, man. It's still unbelievable. Look, maybe that's the key. Win 5 games in 5 days in your tournament, conference tournament, and then it propels you because it worked for UConn in 2011. And now, you know, NC State, man, unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that it is something that they were in Kentucky's pod of the little bracket where they had the path. So, yeah, but
DJ,
no.
DJ Burns. Our big, can you imagine our bigs bouncing off of him?
I wanted to see that matchup in person so bad. So bad. So bad. Really, really bummed that we never got to see that. And there were a lot of storylines in that matchup, whether it was Burns in that matchup, whether it was, you know, Rob Dillingham obviously was one time committed to NC State. Mm-hmm. Joel Justice is on the staff at NC State. Like would have been a lot of fun to cover, a lot of fun for the fans, and you know, Oakland happened. So,
and for the Tennessee fans, they get to watch DJ Burns, who's committed to them.
That's right,
Tennessee.
Yeah,
get to watch him in the Final Four. So,
So they'll hopefully I'm rooting for the two underdogs. Honestly, I want to see NC State win. I want to see Alabama win. I don't think either will happen. I'm still not like the Purdue thing. I'm still just not there with Purdue. I don't know what it is. I just can't get around with them. I think they obviously, you know, they deserve credit for getting this far. Tennessee put them on the ropes early. They came all the way back, but I just look at that bracket and Utah State is, man, they had a coach who knew he was leaving the second the game was over with Danny Sprinkle going to Washington, the Sweet 16. You know, I'm trying to think what their match, Gonzaga, that was a good game. That was a good matchup for them. I think that honestly was the game I was probably more impressed with than any of their runs so far, but I'm just not quite there with them yet. I don't know why. I think NC State as an 11 seed, it would be something if they continue their streak of losing to double digit seeds in the Final Four, that's on the table. Obviously, Fairleigh Dickinson, North Texas, and I'm missing St. Peter's. They've been the three teams that have beat them the last 3 years, all double-digit seeds. So it'd be funny if that continues there. So I think that game will be the closer of the two. I am a NATO from a put away what happened there off the court last year, not getting in all that. I think NATO is awesome. Awesome. That should be the type. We can get into the conversation if you want, but that's if I'm making my list of realistic options for when Calipari's done, he's up there. He's the guy for me. If you get Danny Hurley or Jay Wright to say yes, then obviously that's different. But realistically, Nate Oates is number one for me. What he's done with that team, three new assistants, a roster that was perceived, you know, they lost a lot. Obviously, Brandon Miller, everything else aside, was the guy for them last year. They lose some of their bigs. They didn't really have, you know, Grant Nelson was up and down. He wasn't exactly what they expected out of the portal. They were picked to finish fifth in the SEC. They were, you know, they led the SEC almost wire to wire. They end up losing, obviously, to Tennessee late in the year. That hurts them, and they lose the league title. They get bounced by Florida. They're limping into the tournament. Everything, all the odds were stacked against Alabama. Not hot going into March. Three new assistants, a ton of new pieces, and Nate Oates gets that team to the freaking Final Four. I mean, that's a coaching clinic right there, and you got to just tip your cap to that. So I'll be rooting for them, but UConn they went on a 30-0 run in the Elite Eight against an Illinois team that was probably the second hottest team in the country behind them. Yeah. That's insane. So I'd pick UConn and Purdue. I'm rooting badly for NC State and Bama, though.
So you get NC State, Bama, that'd be the Mark Godfrey Bowl.
Oh, man. Please give that. I would love that. That offense, that high, they're going to run the pace they play, and then DJ Burns. Oh, that'd be great. But it's probably going to end up being UConn and Purdue and UConn cutting down the nets. But I'd love to. Let's get, you know, I feel like this tournament, there's been some moments, but I feel like it's mostly been pretty chalky, pretty outside of what NC State's done. But let's save some of the major upsets for the Final Four. I feel like outside of Kentucky and Auburn, like there hasn't been a game that has stunned you in this tournament. Even NC State, what they've been able to do, kind of just felt like it had been brewing and brewing and brewing.
And so that would give you Edie and Klingman. That'd be, I guess, the main storyline if you had those two bigs in the championship game.
Did they play each other in the regular season? I feel like they did.
Did it really? Purdue and UConn. Mm.
Or maybe it was last. I know they played recently. They've definitely played recently. I'll look here, but I might be wrong. I feel like they played each other though.
Maybe they have, because Tennessee and Purdue had played earlier this year, and
I guess not this year that I'm seeing. I could have sworn they played each other at some point. Maybe I'm wrong, but. Yeah, that would be – I mean, that would be obviously probably are the best two teams in the country, have been pretty much all year, but I ain't betting against – I don't know how anyone could think UConn's going to get stopped here. I mean, what they're doing is just – it's unheard of.
Yeah, they've been doing – I mean, Auburn had that going at home for a while, but UConn's just been doing it to everybody. The exception of what? Creighton on the road. Everybody else has just been – I mean, nobody really can touch them.
No.
Dan Hurley, I mean, he's, you know.
I was wrong. I don't know why I thought they played. But, you got to give him a ton of credit. He's probably the best coach in the country right now. If they win every NCAA tournament game by 13-plus the last 2 years, you're on top of the sport.
He's got age. He's got talented freshmen. He's
perfect combination.
The right mix of –
yeah,
anything you need, man. So
yep, and they've I know, I don't think they've struck yet. I know Riley Kugel, he was in the mix there. He ended up committing to Kansas, but they've been active in the portal and they're still playing. And so is Alabama. So is NC State, with Brandon Huntley Hatfield is leaning to go there.
NC State.
Yeah, that's the I saw the crystal ball went for them today. I know he was on a visit. I know Louisville is still in that Final Four to get him back, but it seems like it's trending in NC State's direction. So they're recruiting. Like, all these teams that are still in it are recruiting and doing things the right way. So,
and what was it? Underwood for Illinois was upset about he was fussing about, you know, the fact that they had to recruit while they were preparing for.
Yeah, and that stinks.
And I don't know if you got to hire an extra coach or you got to put an assistant on that, but everybody's going to have to do it. Isn't right.
You know what? I think it's a lot worse in football. A lot worse. Think about it. The teams that make the playoff, the four teams, and now we'll get it to 12, right? Does this start this year, the 12? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Or is it next year? So you're going to have 12 teams. Yes, this year. So you're going to have 12 teams that have to start because – unless they change, and I don't think they can because of just the academic calendar, you're going to have 12 teams that have their full rosters intact and are going to have, like, second choices in the portal. And, like, because in January, you have guys who already signed on National Signing Day. The playoffs were in January. I guess it'll be a little different because they won't play the entire postseason in January. But still, you're going to have you're going to have more than just four teams who are going to be behind the eight ball with the portal. And that's why Alabama, Washington – their coaches swapping or not swapping, but Washington, the board going to Bama when both teams made the playoffs. That's why, like, those are the two teams in the portal this spring that I think will go nuclear, are Alabama and Washington, because they didn't get to do it in December.
Yeah.
But basketball, at least, you know, one, you're not playing, like, it's not 85 guys, it's 15. You have different assistants. You have guys on your staff who they're assistant coaches, but they're, you know, we all know they're more recruiters than they're involved with the game planning. So, and then football, you know, it's tough, but it's manageable. And obviously UConn's been in the thick of recruiting. NC State's done a really good job in the portal. If they're going to get Huntley Hatfield, that's a home run, you know, already. So it's a pain in the ass, but if you're Brad Underwood, you sign up for it, man. That is what it is.
And this is why every week, you know, Jalen will say something. I mean, this is why
no one wants to do
college coaches isn't for everybody. And you see these guys going to the NFL for a month or two off at some point to just
not taking less money to do it.
Yeah, man. Have to get Jalen because you know the great UFL started this past weekend. So we have to get Jalen's thoughts on that because you know he had
that was funny.
You know he was talking about it. You know before they merged, so now they've merged into one league, and so you know he's checking up on the quarterbacks and stuff. So we have to get his thoughts on all that next week. I did flip and catch it. I was like, oh yeah, and it was like Birmingham and Arlington or something, and you know,
but that's I was The Yankees were on Fox on Saturday night, and before it, it was a UFL game, and there was I forgot who hit the kick, but it was a 64-yard field goal to win the game. And it was like, this is, I guess we're playing football right now. Let's go.
Yeah. And, man, speaking of your Yankees, man, was it opening day? I saw you tweeting out, they're making me miserable. And yeah, they hadn't even lost, man. They just finally lost their first game. I'm like, what is he talking about?
I'm a true one. When like people are like, oh, you don't really sit there and watch 160. Yeah, I do. I mean, if there's something I have to go do, maybe I'll miss the game or I won't get to see every second of it. Like Kenny Brooks' press conference was going on the beginning of opening day. So I had it on my computer. I wasn't really watching, trying to pay attention to Kenny, do my job there. And then, you know, we got a little – thing with Mitch Barnhart after nothing came out of it that's even worth talking about, but so yeah, things like that. Yeah, I'll miss an inning here or there, but I'm locked in pretty much every pitch. And they fell behind 4-0 in Houston. Nestor Cortez is getting eaten alive. Garrett Cole is obviously out until June, so it's like, oh, they're already making me miserable. And then they clawed their way back and won that game. They found a way to sweep that series 4 games against a team that's just had their number, and then just took 2 out of 3 in Arizona against the defending NL champs. So they're off to a really good start. We'll see if I think they have the pieces to keep it going. I'm hopeful, but I'm never gonna get too high on them because every time I do that, I get hurt. So we'll see.
Man, well, you're that young of a Yankees fan, so be hurt more than happy, I guess.
It's a different era, right? I give my parents a hard time all the time. Like, you waited till like the end of the 90s run for I didn't get to enjoy any of that. Yeah. You know, I was a baby when they won in 99. I was one in 2000. So the only World Series I have that I got to be a part of and be locked into was in 09. So, you know, I'm not the spoiled brat Yankee fan like some others are. I've been through – they make the playoffs more years than not, but it's usually heartbreaking losses that I'm opposed to, whether it's the two ALCSs. The third one was a disaster, but the two 2017 and 19 in Houston, the 2020 game against the Rays with Mike Brosseau, the Red Sox coming in 2018, so many just – ugly memories more than happy ones. It's kind of similar to Kentucky, right? Where the people who are my age have won national championship at Kentucky. They've had some deep playoff runs and then it's kind of just gone stagnant. That's kind of where I'm at with the Yankees. It's a very similar time period for those two organizations / franchises. So hopefully both will get over the hump soon, but in my selfish opinion, I hope it's the Yankees.
Unbelievable, because I'm old enough to have all the heartbreak.
Right.
The Yankees caused a lot of it. You know,
we
had Jim Leyritz on here.
And yep.
He ripped my heart out with that home run. Yep. The 96 and 99 and all that. So, you know, I mean, you know, the Braves won in 95, and everybody loves to say, well, they should have more than one. And I always say, hey, we got one more than the Bills got. So, hey, you know, the Bills would love to have one. So that was – but, yeah, as far as that goes, you know, the Yankees caused me a lot of grief. And, you know, you were too young to witness that. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. That is, 99. I think I've said on here before, I was born in Atlanta, so we were living in Roswell when I was at that age. But my dad, I think he went to game one of the 99 World Series. It was either game one or game two. It was either the game that Chipper hit a home run and then the Yankees rallied back to win in game one or game two, and David Cone kind of shut him down. I can't remember which one, but one of those two. Yeah. So, you know, I was in the thick of it, but I was not quite there yet.
Yeah.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
And on the flip side, you know, for as far as Kentucky goes, they won four in my lifetime. I mean, I'm old enough to remember three, you know, 96, yep. 98, and 2012, you know, yep. But, you know, 96, my senior year in high school, 98, a couple years out of high school, and, you know, 2012, a true adult, I'm like in my 30s. 78, I was a baby like you were a baby in 99. I mean, I don't remember, you know, Goose Givens and all those guys winning. I was, you know, my parents had championship shirts. They had pictures like holding me in their national championship shirt, stuff like that. But
so, yeah, that's the type of thing I have from those early Yankees. Exactly that. There's a picture with the 2000 World Series shirt with my dad. So yeah, no, it's very similar kind of my Yankee fandom to the Kentucky fans who are my age. It's very, 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 very similar.
Yeah, a lot of parallels for sure, for sure.
No doubt.
So spring practice, man. We got the spring game coming up on the 13th, so a week from Saturday. Is there a scrimmage this coming weekend?
I know they're letting the media in for practice on Saturday, so that'll be my first time I've had eyeballs on this thing, and I'm looking forward to it. We've heard a lot about the offense being notably quicker, so I'm very anxious to see that if they let us stick around for some 11-on-11 stuff. There've been some, I guess the storylines, if you want to call them, it obviously starts with the tempo, the offense and all that, but I guess it's that this freshman class as a whole has really impressed. And there are guys like Hardley Gilmore, the receiver out of Florida, the running back, Jason Patterson, also out of Florida. On the defensive side of the ball, I forget which – I'm going to mix the Smith twins up until I don't. But I know the one that's healthy and participating, I've heard is doing really well, Brian Robinson. So, you know, I think that's kind of been the story, that this has a chance to be a freshman class that Mark Stoops, Vince Marrow, and co. really hit on. We haven't really gotten a good feel of who's kind of not out there. That's always something big in spring. We know Cortland Ford is out with wrist surgery. He's only doing individual work. Jamori Macklin's a little banged up. Last time we checked, he was not practicing. And then Mark Stoops made a reference to the defensive line having a lot of guys banged up. So I'm not sure who they are. I couldn't tell you who it is and who it isn't. So that'll be something good to see on Saturday. And then I guess the only other thing would be big picture wise is that cornerback battle, which sounds like Jansen Dunn has had the leg up with, starting across the field from Andrew Phillips. We obviously have Max Harrison, you know, penned into the CB1 spot, but CB2, CB3, CB4 is all a guessing game right now. And it looks like it's Jansen Dunn emerging as that two. We'll see what's going on there. Obviously Andrew Phillips leaving was a little bit of a surprise at the time. So, you know, and that was the one position they did not go and address in the portal, at least yet. So I'm interested to see where that is. But, you know, I've definitely heard encouraging things about the offense. And I think, too, the thing I've been more encouraged by is last year we talked about it, I think, at length on this show. Mark Stoops had that one practice where he was just livid with how things went, and he was calling out the leadership. And then the year before that, the red flags in practice were, you know, obviously it was just Rich Scangarello's first month in town, but the offense looked terrible then. Like, there was warning signs galore that the offense was going to be a problem. So 2 years in a row, we've had warning signs. This one, Mark Stoops has sounded pretty pleased, pretty confident, pretty happy with the leadership. There hasn't really been any red flags. I haven't gotten anything source-wise where I've had any reason to think things are going bad in any sort of way over there. So it's been very positive. That's why I think Saturday, if we do get to do the open practice, and then obviously it's hard to take much from the spring game because it's so vanilla and it's, you know, for show. But it'll be really good to get that open practice on Saturday, assuming we do have it.
Yeah. I was just stood out to me, just, you know, and of course get into this when Jalen comes back too, but when Brock Vandegrift was up there talking, just, you know, you got so many quarterbacks that don't go under center and don't huddle and all the traditional standard things that quarterbacks always used to do. But he talked about how he's having to go in and command the huddle, but you only do it once every 30 plays or so. So it's something that you still have to be good at, even though you're not doing it frequently.
Right.
And so I just thought that it was just, to me, interesting hearing him kind of explain that. I don't do it a lot, but I still have to go in and look them in the eye and have that command and all that whenever sporadically they do huddle. So I just, that just kind of caught my ear.
Yeah, that one caught my ear. Him mentioning that Eli Cox is like, man, it feels like we're doing 2 minute every play caught my ear, because that definitely means there's a difference, because there's no way Eli's been here for, this is going to be year six. If he's saying that, then this offense is notably faster. So I'm really excited. I'm really hoping they let us see some of the 11-on-11 stuff. I don't know how much of the no huddle stuff they're going to want to show in that spring game. So, I think Brock Vandegrift too is a really good interview, by the way. But one thing that both he talked about, and then Eric Wolford, really intense guy, when I think we talked a little bit about him last Tuesday, but the thing I really like to hear about was how they're doing a lot of the downhill running, and they're really practicing just power football, right? Like 3rd and 2, go get me 2 yards. We're going to run it up the gut, and doing it in full pads and boosting some confidence on the offensive line, getting those guys some really, really physical reps. Maybe that's been missing the last couple of years, just with what they've done schematically. And just, I don't know, injury prevention, whatever you want to call it. I don't know why, but it seemed, you know, Stoops, I asked Stoops about it. He said, you know, they haven't changed that part of practice, but the way that Eric Wolford worded it, saying like, you know, if we run RPOs, we run outside zone scheme stuff, you know, we're not getting better. Mm-hmm. It sounds like they made some adjustments in trying to get some more physicality for those old linemen in practice that might pay off. So, I have nothing really negative that's come out of spring ball yet. And that's good, because the last 2 years, there's definitely been some things that have made you worry, and they ended up coming to fruition.
Yeah. Yeah. And going back to Eli too, like you said, you know, the fact that he felt like it was 2 minute, and Brock told him, he said, no, this is just kind of normal.
Yeah. it's something they haven't done. It's clearly clearly something's changed over there with Bush Hamden.
Well, welcome into what everybody else is.
Yeah. Welcome to college football in the year 2024. Yeah. So it definitely made you think some things about both Rich Scangarello and Liam Cohen. But
the excitement about them, and I mean, nobody's gonna be perfect ever at all, but for, you know, we're so excited and thought we were getting some revolutionary stuff, and then to be that bottom of the nation.
Yeah, plays per game, just awful. Yeah, awful. The offense was just, last 2022, they were just straight up terrible. We all know that. And then last year, they were just so reliant on the big play. Like, they needed an explosive to get them going or score them. I mean, that Louisville game was just explosive plays, right? I mean, whether it was the punt return touchdown, the 55-yarder to Cummings that set up the 20-yard touchdown on the next play to Davis, hitting the hole for the 38-yard touchdown to seal the game, Ray Davis having like 8 20-yard runs or more against Florida. Like, it was just a boom or bust offense. and they need to just be an offense where they can consistently have success on early downs, set up short, third and short, second and short, and just have more plays. And then obviously, yeah, you want to have some big plays, some fun, you know, 60 yard touchdowns mixed in, but you know, they were just so dependent on those long plays last year where they just weren't able to form these long grinded out drives that they had in the past, in the Stoops era.
Yeah. So definitely excited to see how it translates and see them consistently, go quick. And I think we all talked about how that's probably messing with Leary because they were so 100%. Slow.
Yeah. And he'd always played fast.
Yep. Yeah, he couldn't get any kind of flow because it was just it was just too snail's pace, you know. So he never could.
He could never get it going.
Yeah. So, man, what you got coming up on the Cat's Paw? I think we hit everything. You got something?
Yeah. Just finishing up spring ball here in the last, you know, this next week and a half until the spring game. We'll obviously keep very close tabs and cover the transfer portal doings, cover the stay-go decisions. If there is a coaching staff change, we'll be on top of it. So we shall see what happens there. Like I said, finishing spring ball. And then, you know, we'll dabble with this baseball team that's deserving of some coverage right now. They're 24-4. Unfortunately, two rainouts with the Louisville game this week. You know, I don't know what happened today. Maybe some road issues, you know, not wanting to push it for Louisville coming down I-64, fans around Lexington, but obviously no way they could have played yesterday. There was some rain in the area today, but turf field, I don't know, whatever. They didn't play. But big series against Alabama this weekend. Big opportunity there. So that'll be fun. And, that's pretty much it for now.
The weather saved Louisville twice. That's what I was saying. Saved them both times. Go ahead and say it. You know, I mean, you know, they got a good team. They always do. But that's what I titled this episode when I put it out here. The weather saved Louisville twice. As you know, yeah, both of them got postponed. But, 8-1 in the SEC. The only loss was to Missouri. How crazy is that?
Yeah, the worst team in the league.
Georgia. Yeah, sweep Georgia and then go down to Ole Miss. And that was leading up to it. Oh, got a tough one at Ole Miss. That's a tough
kick their
butt. And it is. Never swept them down there and go down there and just light them up,
man. Yeah. And got number 13 Bama coming in this weekend. They're a fun team. They have I think what's fun about them this year, last year they were very reliant on the small ball and they still play a lot of that, but they have some pop this year. They're hitting the ball out at a little bit of a higher clip. The starting pitching for the most part, especially on Saturday and Sunday with Dominic Niemann and with Mason Moore and Mason Moore has been outstanding. So they can beat you in a couple different ways where last year it kind of felt like it was all the combination of pitching, defense, small ball. This year they still have the good defense. They can still pitch. I think last year's pitching was probably still a little bit better, but this team could still pitch. And then now they have both the ability to beat you small and they can hit the ball out of the yard a little bit. So there are probably some fans that still haven't been just because the second year of the ballpark is the year that the year got called early because of COVID. The third year fans were still cautious. Fourth year they weren't a good team, and then last year maybe you weren't on the train yet just because they hadn't proven anything. Now's the time to jump on that bandwagon. You got a ranked Alabama team coming in here this weekend. You got a ranked Tennessee team in the next home series in 2 weeks. Arkansas, the number one team in the country, is going to be here in a couple weeks. Vanderbilt's going to be here. Like it is, there's some elite ball clubs coming in that Kentucky can use some fan support to help beat.
That's right. So like you said, all the stuff they've been doing, good defense, you know, and now they have some pop and they still stay aggressive and try to put pressure on the defense, you know.
Yeah, they do.
In the extra base, stealing when they can. So they come at you in a lot of different ways. They don't just live and die by the 3-run home run and all those kind of things. No. And a lot of those midweek games, you know, you'd see them get down.
I know.
Third or fourth inning, still down against Murray or Moorhead or whoever it is.
Miami,
And then, you know, they keep plugging and then boom, 8-run inning in the seventh or eighth, and they win comfortably after struggling for 6 innings. And it's like, and that script just kind of kept repeating itself. You know, they don't want to get down 4-1 or whatever, but they didn't panic, obviously. And like you said, now they got a little pop. And, you know, sometimes it's wild pitches and errors and all that. And then sometimes it's just, you know, the offense getting explosive. So, you know, just a lot of fun to watch. Yeah, we had Trevor Fitz, player development guy on, and, you know, we asked what's the reasoning for why we can think that they can consistently, you know, put these good seasons together. Because we remember 6-7 years ago, you know, we go to the regional and then you've had struggles since then. How can you stack consistent seasons? And here they are. They're rolling their way now to, you know, proving that last year wasn't a fluky little, you know, once every four or 5 year type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So we'll see if they can keep it rolling. It would be great for their, it'd be great. It's a nice little distraction from basketball. Get them some spotlight, get them some attention, and we'll see what they can do with it.
And, you know, there's still time. You know, Tennessee is out of the gate a little bit slow compared to what everybody thought they would be.
Yeah.
Florida's taking quite a few losses in the conference. Yeah,
they're having a little bit of a rough go, which is really surprising. LSU isn't quite the same power. That they were a year ago.
I think they'll end up being okay, but they are.
They're 2-7 in the league.
2-7 in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I guess when you lose the number one, when you lose the number one and two pick in the draft, maybe that should have been like, you should have gotten some, a little bit of acknowledgement, like, hey, you know, we could take a step back, but they lost to Southern University. That's brutal. So, We'll see. But, you know, Kentucky, like I said, they still got Tennessee, Florida, Vanderbilt on their schedule. South Carolina's on the schedule. Arkansas, the best team in the country, is on the schedule. So, a lot of fun things to watch for with the Nick Mangione squad the rest of the way here.
Yeah. So, hey, 24-4 and 8-1. Just keep stacking wins and hold your own against the big dogs that are, you know, favorite. And,
see where it takes it.
Just keep it between the ditches and don't have a disaster, and you'll have another good season.
There you go. 100%.
And I always appreciate you, AG, man. Everybody check
it
out.
Back at you.
CatsPaws.com. Always good content. Always on top of everything. Portal stuff. AG. Hey, Gershon99 on Twitter. So, y'all follow him. Follow us. Subscribe. Appreciate y'all taking the time to watch, and appreciate all the comments. College Sports Cast was putting in all kind of good comments. So y'all go like their page on Facebook too. They have followed our page and contributed to the show this evening. And we'll be back next week. Yo, barring any emergencies, barring any crazy stuff, we'll be back next Wednesday to talk about everything that happens. There'll be, you know, men's and women's champions. You got Friday games with the women in the Final Four. Saturday with the men's, Sunday, Monday, college basketball is over. And, we'll see where we are, see how Kentucky can get back in the mix and start contending. Kenny Brooks's presser was great, too. And
awesome.
Hopefully Georgia Amore comes and follows.
Yeah, Brooks. They got a couple of big names in the portal from Tech. Yeah. I feel like smart to – I'm just saying, we didn't touch on that this week, but I think it was kind of intentional just because, you know, we touched a lot on Kenny Brooks last week, and we don't, you know, the press conference was great, but we don't have anything really on the roster yet. So push that one down. Maybe we'll have something for you more next week on Wednesday or 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Kenny Brooks is, we see how awesome the women's game has been the last couple of years. And Kenny Brooks, I think, is the guy to make Kentucky a place where it's going to be that type of fun. And I'm really excited about that for them. I'm, you know, happy that Mitch Barnhart invested in them, got him a coach who is at, you know, one of the best in the country at what he does, getting paid like it. And obviously the building will be ready. So a lot of good things cooking over there. Didn't leave them out intentionally. Just there's not much going on yet with the roster that, we can really bring to you. That wouldn't be beating a dead horse at this point.
Right. And, you know, Tennessee parted ways with their coach, so we already got him.
Yeah, some Matthew Mitchell rumblings there too.
Yeah, yeah. And if that's the case, it is what it is. You know, he's got a right to get back in it. Yes.
And that would be all. If you come out of a four-year hiatus and get that job, like, you just tip your cap, man. Then give credit to Mitch Barnhart for getting that thing with Kenny Brooks done, because I guarantee you, if they didn't, that Kenny Brooks and Tennessee would be all over that one. And they probably went out just because, and that's not a knock. I'm not trying to say, you know, knock on Kentucky here, but Tennessee, Pat Summit, man, it's the Tennessee is usually with UConn and LSU, like, they are the one of the gold standard programs, and they just haven't, you know, been the same since Pat Summit stepped down and then ultimately passed away, obviously. But they would have been able to get a Kenny Brooks if they wanted to, and Kentucky was able to move quickly and make that hire before they even got the opportunity.
And talking about Tennessee winning out, that even goes back to when
the South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Pat was still alive and coaching and on her way to being Pat Summit. I think she talked about Kentucky offering her a job and trying to get her to come to Lexington. Right. And it was $100 moving expenses or whatever. And that's what she asked for. And Kentucky wasn't able to come up with it. And I mean, the crazy money for the women was ridiculously low. And she's like, could you give me $100 to help me move? And they were like, no. So she ends up staying in Tennessee. And I mean, the rest is history, dynasty. They say.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's won out then and would probably win out again if Brooks had been available.
Kelly Harper's tenure at Tennessee is kind of similar to like what the men's basketball Kentucky's been the last 5 years, right? Where they've had some tournament teams, they haven't got over the hump. And even with Tennessee, I think they were in the Sweet 16. I know they were in it this year. I think they've been in it not this year. I don't remember if they made it there this year, but at least have been in one.
Yeah. Second round. I mean, she still wasn't losing to St. Peter's.
No. They weren't like
Oakland.
Yeah. So that program has extremely high standards. Like are a championship or bust program. And obviously South Carolina's overtaken them in the SEC. LSU the last couple of years have overtaken them in the SEC. And they felt like they had to make a move with Harper. They did, and they're going to be big game hunting. And I guarantee you, they would have been big game hunting Kenny Brooks if Kentucky didn't act swiftly. So just give even more credit to Mitch Barnhart for that one.
Yeah, you take him at his word. He said he wasn't looking when Mitch Barnhart came calling. He wouldn't have been looking, but
He would have been looking at Tennessee.
And you got to give Kentucky credit. A lot of people want to get on Mitch. And there's a lot of stuff you can't get on him about or disagree with him about. But you make him the seventh highest paid coach in America. You go to a guy who's not looking. Well, that lets him know you're serious. And like, oh, okay. That makes it worth his while. And ultimately, you know, he felt it was worth it to make the move. So,
yep.
You know. Props to Mitch Barnhart for sealing that deal. You're exactly right, man.
Nailed it. So we'll get more into that when we have some roster news.
For sure. We'll hop out of here on that note, and everybody be safe. Hopefully the weather cooperates and stays calm from now on and move on into spring and get some more calmer, more warmer, comfortable temperatures.
Please.
Especially for the spring game for you, for the open practice and all that too. Looking forward to whatever – nuggets or footage or little signs and stuff you can get out of what you see and what they let y'all see. And
oh yeah,
we'll be back next week. Appreciate everybody tuning in, the comments, you know, subscribe and follow us and never miss any episodes coming up in the future. For Aaron Gershon, my name is Vinny Hardy. We'll be back with y'all next time on another episode of Believe in Kentucky.
South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.